The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show about everything, including what I'm going to talk about now, which is a book written by a friend of mine, Pastor Greg Laurie. The title of the book is Lennon, as in John, Dylan, as in Bob, Alice, as in Cooper, and Jesus, as in my Lord and Savior. It's subtitled The Spiritual Biography of Rock and Roll. Greg Laurie, my friend, welcome back.
Eric, good to be with you. And I've decided I'm going to do this entire interview in a British accent, if you don't mind.
And how about in a Liverpudlian accent?
All right, then, Eric, it's good to be with you. Now, it's fab, it's gear, it's lovely, you know. So I won't talk about these things with you and talk a bit like a Beatle.
And if you want to...
That's it.
If you want to listen to this album, we'll put it on an LP album vinyl. Okay, now
new
come on.
Album's coming out.
Let me ask you first questions first. Can you tell I'm wearing a wig? Be honest. You're my friend.
If that's a wig, I'm ordering one today.
I use the finest wig adhesive. As you know, this is a horsehair wig. I invested in it. I said they hold their value. They hold their value. Okay. Listen, this book is exciting to me, Greg, and you've written many books. You're an evangelist. You're at Harvest Church in Orange County. But you write about the lives of people and their intersection with faith and Jesus. So this one, Lennon, Dylan, Alice, and Jesus, I just read a whole book talking about the spiritual Bob Dylan, the spiritual side of him. And it seems so clear that he still is a believer in Jesus. He doesn't talk about it the way he used to. But that do you cover that in the book?
Yeah, I have a whole chapter on Bob. And, you know, that's exactly my premise is I've heard it said that, well, Dylan abandoned his Christian faith and returned to his Jewish roots. Well, he is Jewish, but he did not abandon his Christian faith. In fact, I just read a review of his recent concert. Dylan never stopped touring. He's on the road constantly. He's playing the song, God Has Served Somebody, from Slow Train Coming, which is an overt Christian song, and has another newer song that he's written that is very much a faith song. So, you know, Bob came under such attack when he came out publicly as a Christian. I don't know if he just got tired of all the drama and controversy, but I don't see that he ever stopped believing what he was saying. Not that long ago, he did a Christmas record, of all things, a Bob Dylan Christmas record, and sang those old songs just as you would expect Bob Dylan to sing them. But at the same time, one interviewer said, you sing those songs as though you believe them. He says, I do. And, you know, so I think Dylan is a work in progress, you know?
Not like us. We've got it all figured
like all
out. Let's be honest, you and me. No, it's so interesting because people, I mean, listen, it's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you. People say things about you and they get back to you and you just go, that is not true. I can tell you, I never said that or that. Like, I know that that's not true. And people have said confidently about Bob Dylan that he moved on, he's not a Christian, he went back to his grave. That is not true. The other book that I read, which is just a whole book on Dylan, I mean, it makes the case so clearly. So I'm thrilled that you have him in your book. Now, Alice Cooper, whom I've met, and I'm sure you have, he definitely is a Christian.
Yes, without question. So Alice... it surprises people, you know, when you tell them that, because I've told people I'm interviewing Alice Cooper. Didn't he bite the head off a bat? No, I think that was actually Ozzy Osbourne. But, you know, these rock
legends. We don't even know if Ozzy did it, but that's another story, right?
Very true. Yeah, there's a. But one thing Alice did do is a chicken was killed, but the rumor is he bit the head off a chicken and drank the blood. Actually, what happened was at one of his concerts, he told me this personally, someone threw a chicken on the stage. Alice looked at the chicken and thought, well, chickens fly, I'll throw it back into the crowd. He threw the chicken out. The chicken didn't fly, and the people tore the chicken apart and then threw what was left of it on the stage. So,
are you serious?
What can you do?
Alice
this is
Cooper,
rock and roll, Eric.
Alice Cooper's crowds are they're a little rowdy. They literally tore the chicken apart. A live chicken. Not a cooked chicken, not a rotisserie chicken. A live chicken.
But that was years ago. So Alice, you know, probably around 30 years ago, was really strung out on drugs. I'm not laughing. I'm laughing at the whole chicken thing.
We're laughing.
He was really strung out on drugs. He was getting ready to literally overdose. He had a rock of cocaine the size of a softball. He was snorting it. His wife had left him. He says he looked in the mirror and saw blood coming out of his eyes, almost in the way he wears that makeup, you know, as part of his act. And he said, I don't know if it was really happening or if I was hallucinating, but all I knew was I was going to die if I didn't stop. So he called out to God. He got clean. He got back with his wife. And he's been clean and sober for over 30 years and still performs as Alice Cooper. It's more of an act now. I mean, kind of a persona he takes on. But he speaks very openly and boldly about his faith in Christ. And that guy, man, he has more crazy stories to tell. But he's very firm in his faith. And so that's why he made the cover of the book.
Well, it is fascinating when you find out that that these people, when I found out that Alice Cooper was a serious Christian, it was hard for me to believe at first.
Yeah.
But I actually, one day, I have a kind of, you know me, I have a kind of a sixth sense that I can spot a celebrity like in the dark at 50 yards from the back of their head.
It.
It's weird. Yeah. And one day I was walking down Madison Avenue, it's got to be like 15 years ago, and there was a crush of a crowd, and just a millisecond, somebody passed me, kind of a wizened-looking face wearing a pork pie hat. And I said, Alice Cooper. And I shouted to him, and I had a short conversation with him, and I said, I heard you're a believer. And he said, yeah, my dad's a Lutheran pastor. But it was like this wonderful moment, you know, in New York. Nobody else recognized him. But it for some reason, and it's why I'm glad you write these books, like the book you wrote about Johnny Cash, that these cultural icons, that some of them, and obviously right. Steve McQueen, these amazing people who aren't maybe known for their faith, are nonetheless very serious about their faith. And you've done the legwork and the research to tell us about that. I want to talk to you about all of them, but have to ask you about John Lennon. I'm never clear on John Lennon. What did you ferret out?
Yeah, well, John, you know, he was raised as an Anglican. I don't know that it ever really took with him, but, you know, his mother abandoned him. He was raised by his aunt, Mimi. His father abandoned him. So he kind of came out in his early years as an angry young man, very frustrated. And then, of course, was talented. He met Paul McCartney. Nitro met Glycerin. The explosion happened. The Beatles became a global phenomenon. John is best known for songs like Imagine, where he sings of imagining there's no heaven or hell. And he's also known for his famous statement, the Beatles were more popular than Jesus. Well, that is part of the story, but it's not all of the story. In fact, at one point in time, with many teenagers, especially in America, the Beatles were more popular than Jesus because a lot of us didn't know Jesus. And so it wasn't completely untrue what he was saying. But what happened is sometime in the late 70s, John was watching television there in New York City, where you are right now, at the Dakota, where he was living with Yoko. And he saw Billy Graham on television, and he called in and said he had committed his life to Christ. Now, there's a letter he allegedly wrote to Oral Roberts talking about how Christ had changed his life. We researched that. We were not able to find an authentic version of that letter, even a facsimile of it to speak of. So I mention it, but I don't use that as proof. We actually have an author who had access to John's diaries, where John himself wrote quite extensively about his faith in Jesus Christ, but it didn't last very long. He
now,
did record
now,
two.
We're gonna go to a break, but this is so fascinating. Folks, we're talking to Pastor Greg Laurie. The book is Lennon, Dylan, Alice, and Jesus, A Spiritual Biography of Rock and Roll. Don't go away.
When I wanted you to share my life, I had no doubt in my mind, and it's been you.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
You haven't been paying attention. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the three-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
Folks, welcome back. We're talking to my friend, Pastor Greg Laurie, of Harvest Church in Southern California, the author of many books. The new one is called Lennon, Dylan, Alice, and Jesus, A Spiritual Biography of Rock and Roll. So, Greg, you're sharing some fascinating stuff that John Lennon called in. I mean, I had heard that he was watching Christian TV, kind of hanging out in the Dakota during this strange period in the 70s, kind of raising his son there, just like being a house husband and watching Christian TV. And then he called up Billy Graham's, called up the number on the screen and professed faith in Christ. And then you said wrote about it in his diary.
Yeah, wrote about his newfound faith in his diary, and he recorded two Christian songs. If you go to YouTube and Google John Lennon, Christian songs, you'll find them. They were rough songs. One almost made it on his final album, Double Fantasy. But even in Double Fantasy, you can see him beginning to soften. He writes in his song, Beautiful Boy, about his son, Sean, before you go to sleep, say a little prayer every day in every way. It gets better and better. John was changing. Now, here's a tragedy, and we all know that John was murdered by Mark David Chapman. And so I begin this book with this statement. There'll be three surprises when we get to heaven. Number one, some of the people we thought would be there won't be there. Number two, some of the people we never thought would be there will be there. Number three, we will be there. So here's my premise on John Lennon, because I wasn't there at that moment. He did survive the shooting. They put him in the back of a police car and rushed him to the hospital. The officer asked him, do you know who you are? John did. If in the final moments of his life, John called out to the Jesus he professed faith in, his prayer would have been heard just as surely as Jesus heard the prayer of the thief on the cross. So I can't say with any certainty that John is in heaven, but I'll tell you what, if one is a believer, even if they have a lapse of faith, if they call out to the Lord, he will forgive them. So maybe we'll be surprised and see John in heaven. I don't know.
Well, it's amazing, really, to think that he did make a profession of faith. And, yeah. And I know the story I heard is that Yoko really didn't like it and tried to push him away from it. I never liked Yoko, by the way. I just want to go on the record. Don't like Yoko. She broke up the Beatles. But honestly, it's so fascinating to think of these figures. Now, I know you never met John Lennon. Did you ever meet Bob Dylan?
No, I did not meet Bob Dylan. I met George Harrison once, talked to him for a few minutes. No, never met Dylan. Some of these people I've met that are in my book.
Yeah.
Dion DiMucci, who's a New York boy from Dion and the Belmonts. I've gotten to know him very well. I have a chapter on him. His is a fascinating story because he was supposed to be on that plane with the Big Bopper and Richie Valens.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
God spared Dion's life. And you know, I've gotten to know some of these other guys. And the others, I just did research on them because, you know, I've always been interested in pop culture like you are, Eric. We can have stream of consciousness conversations that only the two of us really understand. And so it was an easy book for me to write because I already had a certain knowledge of it. But I did a deep dive into these stories before I wrote them down because I want to make sure what I'm saying is as accurate as it possibly can be. And I don't want to give false hope. But here's the premise of this book. Lennon, Dylan, Allison, Jesus. It is simply this. No one is beyond the reach of God. Think of someone you know. God can still reach them. If God can reach an Alice Cooper, he can certainly reach your non-believing husband or your prodigal son or your daughter. Really, when you get down to it, Alice, being a pastor's son, was actually just a prodigal who returned to the Lord. He's just a modern version of the prodigal son. And you know, and you'd think these people wouldn't be open to the gospel, but I think when someone has experienced almost everything the world has to offer, I think when you've been there and you've done that, you've bought the T-shirt, and in some cases you've been the T-shirt, you get to the top and you realize that nothing is there. These people are really searching.
Well, it's funny you say that because very recently we had a Socrates in the City event here in Manhattan with Apollo 16 astronaut Charlie Duke. And he tells that story of, you know, once you've walked on the moon, now what? You know, the whole world is going to be goggling at you for the rest of your life like you're a living God or something. And you can do anything. You can go anywhere and you're a celebrity. Every company would want you to be on their board or to endure it. And his life was empty. It was just dramatically empty. And he found Jesus, and he tells that story. Well, actually, we will play that on this radio program. The video is up at SocratesInTheCity.com. But it's so interesting because most of us think, boy, if only I could have, you know, what Alice Cooper has or what that astronaut has, if only I could achieve that thing. But it is those who've achieved those things that are in a position to know that it doesn't fulfill you. But I guess many of us, we just find that hard to believe until we achieve those things. But we shouldn't find it hard to believe because those people themselves tell us.
Well, I have a chapter on the framers of rock and roll, the founding fathers, if you will. Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins. And interesting, they're all Southern boys. They all came from poverty. They all came from strong gospel roots. Carl Perkins, who wrote Blue Suede Shoes, actually was an alcoholic who came to Christ when touring with Johnny Cash and spoke openly about his faith in Jesus. I'm working on a documentary film right now that's going to come out in October called Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon, that's based on my book by the same title. And we've had some rather well-known country music people like Tim McGraw, Sheryl Crow, Winona Judd, and members of the Cash family participate in this film. And, you know, Johnny had it all, and Johnny believed, but he was just... He too was a prodigal son who really returned to his spiritual roots toward the end of his life. And I think of Elvis Presley. You know, have you seen this new Elvis movie, Eric?
I have not, but I heard it's good.
It's actually pretty good. And I think it's a pretty honest treatment of the life of Elvis, showing his roots in black music, how he was at tent revivals, which is all true. And, you know, Elvis often turned to gospel music for comfort and solace. And there's a story told of when Elvis was performing in concert. And of course, he was called the King of Rock and Roll. And some woman came up with a pillow with a crown on it to present to the king. And Elvis stopped her and said, "Man, there's only one king, and his name is Jesus Christ." So, I can't unequivocally say Elvis was a Christian, but I think he believed. I think he knew where to turn in times of trouble. But of course, his life is a tragic cautionary tale of what not to do. It's interesting to contrast Cash and Elvis because they both started out at the same time there at Sun Studios. Both became global superstars. Both became addicted to amphetamines and barbiturates. And then Elvis just went down the tubes and died at 42, and he looked 20 years older, if not more. And Johnny made it to 70, but Johnny had a resurgence at the end of his career, both spiritually and musically. So it's interesting how Johnny ended and just see how these two paths crossed and then went the other directions. It comes down to choices we make. We make our choices, then our choices make us.
Well, it is amazing how, you know, we live, you and I have talked about this, we live in such a secular culture that, you know, apart from people like you or me talking about this, you'd kind of would just assume that, you know, these people would not be serious Christians. And then when you discover it, you think, wow, how come I haven't heard more? The film Walk the Line, which is in some ways a great film, does not deal with the central issue of Johnny Cash's life. What got him off of drugs and alcohol?
That's
Jesus.
Right.
There's no way around it. And the film avoids that, which is kind of crazy, but typical of Hollywood, it seems to me.
Yes. Well, speaking of Hollywood, we've just finished working on a feature film with the Irwin Brothers. That's a story of my life and how I met my wife and the Jesus movement. It's called Jesus Revolution, and it's going to come out in February of next year. And it's being backed by Lionsgate, which is a major Hollywood film studio. And I'm amazed that Lionsgate would back a film called Jesus Revolution. So, you know, God is at work. And like, you know, Eric, what I appreciate about you is you let your light shine, like doing Socrates in the City, the books you write, what you do. You have a desire to go out into the culture and speak up for your faith. And a lot of Christians are too busy retreating when we should be invading. We should be permeating. We should be influencing. So I'm very interested as an evangelist in finding ways through writing books like this or working on films and, of course, preaching and all those things that I do along those lines of trying to bring the gospel to unexpected people in unexpected places.
Well, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back. We're talking to my friend, Pastor Greg Laurie. The book is Lennon, Dylan, Alice, and Jesus.
Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty, darling. Do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size, regularly priced at $89.98, is now only $39.98 with our listener promo code Eric. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable. They've got a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC or just go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Use the promo code ERIC. The offer will not last very long because these Percale sheets are known to sell very quickly. Order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Pastor Greg Laurie, who is writing books, making films. They haven't seen you at church in years. What's going on with you, man? Are you back?
Amazingly,
what's cooking?
I managed to get in there.
No, listen, this is exciting. The new book is Lennon, Dylan, Alice, and Jesus, the spiritual biography of rock and roll. I want to talk to you about the new film. But before that, in your book, do you mention Kris Kristofferson? Because obviously he's not really thought of as a rock star, but I know he's somebody that came to faith at some point.
Yeah, I do actually talk about him. I also wrote about him in my book on Johnny Cash. Funny thing, you talk about recognizing celebrities. So I was working on this documentary film about Johnny, and I watched some interviews with Chris that were more recent. So I flew out, came back to LAX. I'm walking to my car. I see this guy from the back, and somehow I recognize him.
From the back. From the back. See, that's next level crazy stuff. That's like Holy Spirit stuff. That flesh and blood is not capable of recognizing somebody from the back. You're telling me, you're not kidding, from the back you said, I think that's Kris Kristofferson.
Yep. So I walked over and I said, hello, Chris, I'm Greg Laurie. I've written this book. And I held up my Johnny Cash book. And I said, and I quote you in the book, Chris, and I'd love to send you a copy. He gave me his address. I sent it. He wrote me back and said he was going to read it. He was a very nice man. And he, you know, there's a series that Ken Burns did on country music.
I just watched it.
Wasn't it great?
It was great. I only have one question, though, like, because it really was great. But I have one question. The whole film, it's about country music, and Ken Burns is going to be soup to nuts, encyclopedia, is going to cover everything. They never mentioned Glenn Campbell. And I thought, what was that about? What was that about? Is that not odd? It's like they decided, no. He was pop. He was popular. But it was just bizarre because it's really good. I spoke about it on this program.
I had not noticed that. And in fact, Glenn Campbell really popularized country music, especially when his TV show came on. He was part of what was called the Wrecking Crew.
He was the ultimate session musician who then made it big. Yeah.
And one other thing, Glenn Campbell became a Christian as well. So he was very upfront about his faith. And so coming back to Chris, I gave him the book. What were we talking about, Chris?
I want to tell you a freaky story about you know, but you and I talk about like recognizing celebrities. Nobody else sees them. Yeah. Says, yes. Where? What are you talking about? I may have told you this story. This is a true story. I was in Berlin, Germany with my wife and daughter. I never have time, but we had a day. And I thought, well, we have a day with nothing to do. Let's go to the zoo. Let's go to the Berlin Zoo. Hey, what's the last time I've been to a zoo? What's the last time I saw, you know, a rhino up close? Other than Mitt Romney. And the answer is it's been many years. So we go to the zoo. And this is maybe 4 years ago, 3 years ago. And we go to the hippo house. The hippo house at the Berlin Zoo. We go into the hippo house. It's dark. It's kind of murky. There's glass. You're looking for the hippos, and the hippos are not cooperating. So I'm looking, and it's like, I turn around, and I see like an old-looking German guy standing there. And then I realize
It's Chris Christopherson
in
the hippo house at the Berlin Zoo. And I said, hey, Chris Christopherson, what are you doing here? And, you know, we had a conversation, and he didn't remember meeting you at the airport.
No.
I'm kidding. But it was so bizarre that no one else who was there saw him. Yeah. He was there, but no one else saw him. And I was, of course, thrilled to death. And I told a friend, and my friend told me what's in this Ken Burns documentary about his experience about going forward at this church and having this really powerful conversion experience and then writing one of the most beautiful songs I have ever heard. And I can't think of the title now. Oh, it's called Why Me, Lord. Why Me, Lord. It is such a beautiful, beautiful song. But anyway, he's obviously Christian. And somebody said to me that he plays it, or maybe he said it in the Ken Burns thing, that he plays it, he ends every concert with that song. So he's still clearly, you know, is a believer. Well, let's turn the page to your film, Jesus Revolution. It's being put out by Lionsgate in a few months. But this is a big deal because this is really your story.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I think they cast it really well. I've seen the director's cut, and we've shown it to some people, some audiences. And Lionsgate just test marketed it at a special audience of invited people, and they have all this research they do. And they said it tested higher than any faith film they've ever put out there, and even tested higher than most of their other films as well. The audience seemed to really connect. I think it really touches people emotionally. It's a very human story, a very real story. And they cast Kelsey Grammer to play Chuck Smith, the pastor, and evangelist Lonnie Frisbee, a hippie evangelist. They cast Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus on The Chosen. These guys just did an amazing job. And these are two men that came together back in the early 70s. And it was this explosive thing that took place, and a spiritual awakening broke out in this tiny, tiny little church that wasn't doing all well when Chuck Smith, a very conservative man, opened the doors and let the outcasts in. In this case, it was the hippies. Today, it would be someone else. And then there's sort of a love story, a parallel love story of Greg, played by Joel Courtney, and Kathy.
Can you hang on? We're gonna be right back. I want to hear the rest of the story, folks. Don't go away. This is very exciting. Jesus Revolution, the film coming out in a few months. Hang around. Hang on. Folks, welcome back. We're talking to my friend, Pastor Greg Laurie, who's written a ton of books, and we're now talking about the film that is coming out in a few months, Jesus Revolution. Greg, you have to frame this. This is the Jesus movement. You were right there in the middle of it. You met your lovely wife of almost 50 years. Now, this is mind-blowing to me that it's that long. In the middle of this time, people getting baptized in the Pacific Ocean, right not far from where you live and minister. And you've made a film about this. So you said Pastor Chuck Smith, who's this icon, just died a few years ago. He's played by Kelsey Grammer. I am so thrilled. Kelsey Grammer is an unbelievable actor.
He is.
Did you get to interact with him? I know on your social media I saw something.
Yeah, I saw a lot, actually. I spent a lot of time with Kelsey. Very gracious man, amazing actor. And what I love, he just brought such authenticity to this role. And I asked Kelsey, because Kelsey has obviously been very successful with Frasier and other projects he does. And I said, why did you take this role, Kelsey, to play a pastor? And he said, well, I was at a point in my career where I was thinking, I want to do something that's meaningful. I want to do something that matters. And he says, in his words, I was just meditating and thinking about this. And that day, the script for Jesus Revolution came. I said, well, Kelsey, I think that was an answer to your prayer. He says, I believe it was. And he played it so powerfully. And it's just, I think people are going to be blown away by his role in Jesus Revolution. And then we have, you know, Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus in The Chosen. Have you seen The Chosen, Eric?
I've seen some of The Chosen. Everybody tells me, I got to see it. So I've only seen a little bit of it, but it's kind of on my to-do list.
Well, Jonathan, I think, is the best cinematic Jesus I've ever seen. He's managed to take it to a place I've never seen it taken to before. And he's a wonderful guy, and he does a fantastic job in the role of this evangelist named Lonnie that Chuck welcomed into his home. And then Joel Courtney is a very popular young actor. He was part of the Kissing Booth on Netflix and Super 8, directed by Spielberg a number of years ago. He plays Greg. A very outstanding actress named Anna Grace Barlow plays Kathy. And there's a beautiful love story. And so there's laugh out loud moments. There's tear up and maybe cry out loud moments. But here's the coolest thing about this film is John Irwin, who's the director. I just said, John, I think it's really important that we show a conversion in a legitimate yet a cinematic way. It's never been done. Every time I see a conversion portrayed in film, they just don't get it right. And so John said, I agree. So he wrote it into the script. And so there's a moment when Greg accepts Christ and Lonnie leads him to Christ. And we have this on the screen. Then Lonnie baptizes Greg. It is such a powerful scene. And Eric, I think that when this scene is shown in theaters literally around the world, it'll be a global release and stream, and it streams later on different platforms. I believe people watching this scene, which happens halfway into the film, will be so moved that they will be praying that prayer and asking Jesus to come into their life.
That is the just like the greatest thing ever. It's amazing. So this is what happened to you.
Yes.
I want to be clear. You know, you're saying, Greg, you mean yourself 50-something years ago, this happened to you.
Yes, well, it did, 100%. And it's a funny thing, too, because this is set in 1970. But for some reason, 1970 really parallels this moment in time we're in. I don't think the 80s do. I don't think the 90s do or the early 2000s. There's something about that era because we're still listening to a lot of the same music. We still, a lot of young kids that they have discovered for the first time, you know, Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, you know, et cetera. And so all these cultural touch points in the film feel like it's now. The movie doesn't feel like a time capsule. It feels like this is happening now. And our hope is that as people watch it, especially young people, and by the way, when they test marketed it, they were really surprised by how many young people, especially young women, liked it. Usually they find older Christian women like the Christian films. In this case, it was younger Christian girls, which I'm very happy about. And so I think that this is going to be a movie that hopefully would inspire a young generation to say, Lord, we want to see it in our generation.
Well, Greg, you know and I know that the only answer to all of our ills, cultural, personal, is Jesus. Let's be blunt about it. And there's a lot of misunderstanding on that, but sometimes there's no way around it. That's the answer. Now, you've experienced that viscerally, changed your life. You've walked it out over the decades. I experienced it in a different way, viscerally changed my life. How many people we know whose lives were totally transformed? And we know we're not perfect. We know we still have a long way to go. But you cannot, once you've experienced that, you can't pretend that was nothing. It was an emotional thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It's utterly transformative. And so, but the fact that, you know, your story and Kathy's story is going to be on film, I'm very excited about it. I'm amazed that Kelsey Grammer plays Chuck Smith in this. And I know if Kelsey hadn't gotten the job, I know it would have gone to me, but I'm not bitter because I'll get other parts. You know what I'm talking about, man. I'm going to get other parts. But I'm right behind you, Kelsey. Seriously, it's so terrific. You know, and I know, because we've talked about this, we've shared about this, but to reach the culture with Jesus, to do it in film, to do it in these different ways, it's vital. And we also know that we need revival in America. We need Jesus in America. So I'm just I'm absolutely thrilled. So the film's coming out when?
February of next year.
February of next year. Okay. Well, in the meantime, people can read your books, Lennon, Dylan, Alice, and Jesus. And the Bonhoeffer film is coming out next year. We just got Bonhoeffer. I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it on the air. They might shoot me. But it's very exciting. So God is at work in this messed up culture. God is at work. It's just a joy to spend a few minutes with you, Greg, Laurie. Congratulations on the book, on the movie. And give my love to Kathy. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me, Aaron. Cut out. Make like a little lamb and wham, you're shorn. I tell you, chum, it's time to come blow your horn. Make like a Mr. So I'd like to know where.
We just have a few minutes left, Alvin. We got a lot of stuff to get in here before we go. First of all, we can't talk about the Ron Howard film. You and I and Chris saw it last night. It's astonishing.
Yeah.
I think probably this week, Friday, I think I'm supposed to interview Ron Howard about it. So we can't talk about it. But astonishing stuff.
Yeah, it's called
Harrowing, realistic, astonishing filmmaking. Okay.
13 Lives. We can at least say it's called 13 Lives. We'll talk more about it next week, I think, or maybe on Friday. But, 13 Lives.
Okay. And so that's going to be a big deal, interviewing Ron Howard. I also should mention, speaking of interviewing big deals, we are taping the late night show, the talk show with Eric Metaxas in the studio downstairs here at TBN, August 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 8th. This is a huge deal. Let me say, if you can't be there, would you do me a personal favor? Would you pray if you're a praying person? Would you pray? Because this is a very big deal. We're taping four inaugural episodes. We have huge guests. We have George Hamilton. Talk about a Hollywood legend. There's nobody he doesn't know. It's kind of like my friend Pat Boone. I mean, it's just insane that this guy has been. I mean, he knows everyone from the 50s to the present. He has been everywhere. And I aspire to have a tan just like his. But he's going to be my guest. We've got Danny Bonaducci. I mean, if you're not impressed by that, trust me, I'm impressed enough for the both of us. I am out of my mind that I get to hang out with Danny from the Partridge Family. Some of you will get that. If you don't get it, just go with it. It's going to be nuts. Nuts. I am so excited about that. We have Vincent Pastore of The Sopranos. We have the guy behind Rao's, the restaurant. Some of you like buy Rao's, sauce. Well, there's this tiny restaurant up in Italian Harlem. It's like barely exists anymore, like a mafia hangout. We're going to be talking to him about, mafia cooking and murder. And also the supermodel Carol Alt.
Yes.
She's becoming – we've got a lot of other guests that aren't –
Just don't talk to her about those things.
No, about the murder, no. But we're going to talk – and by the way, we stand firmly against murder.
We do.
Yeah, publicly. Privately, some people need killing.
Maybe.
But the point is, publicly, we're against murder. We're against it. And so we want to say that – those dates, if you go to ericmetaxas.com, you can see under the schedule how to sign up to be here. It's going to be fun. I'm telling you, it's going to be a blast. You're going to meet some of these people. You're going to meet me and Albin and whoever. This is going to be an amazing, amazing thing. And if you can come or you know anybody who can be there, we've got a gorgeous theater downstairs. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's amazing. It's where we filmed our Christmas special 3 years ago. So I want to remind you that if we had many of you there, if you can get there, it'll be more fun for us. But we're going to have a full audience. Don't worry. There's like people who come to New York looking for stuff to do. So we will have a full audience. So that's good. But also, I want to ask you very sincerely to pray, because this is a big deal. You know, this is not just we want to put on a show. We want to change the world. We want to do some things that maybe haven't been done. And I want to say that really
and have
soberly
a lot of fun doing
and
it.
Sincerely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, there's no question about that. So
Anyway, that's important. And I also want to say, did I mention about Nutramedics?
No, you didn't. Just a couple days left.
I didn't mention that?
No.
At the beginning of the segment? No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yes. Nutramedics.com. Only a couple days left for you to get 30% off everything on the website. Nutramedics.com. If you use the code ERIC, 30% off only the month of July. So go to Nutramedics.com. Everything on the website. 30% off with the code ERIC. Don't forget to go to mystore.com and use the code ERIC. Order the coffee. There's coffee.
Ooh.
Coffee. Ooh. By mystore.com. Use the code ERIC. Thanks.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.